Speak to us, our heavenly and gracious God, for we are willing to hear and to obey. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Exactly 1 year past yesterday, I received this gift. And it was presented to me by Ray. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cherish this so much. And if you're regular to the mass, you see that once you open the door, that's what you see. And Ray told me that day, when the weather is dreck, is that? I keep missing it. Drake, I'll get there. But you know, I'm going to ask you to say a word you never get. So I'll get it sometime. So she said, when the weather is not as good as you expect it, always say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I guess this is going to be my motto for all our days of ministry here. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. Not in any way that we intended it, but to mark the 1 year with the support of Favor and the children, I decided to trek with the trekkers yesterday. We left Stephen Park and walk through the town square towards Sanford. Once outside the town, we cut across field to the banks of the Avon water. We carried on along the water's edge and came to the ruins of an old mill and the falls of Ai. In fact, yesterday I had a lecture by Ray. She took me on tutorial and said, you must remember this. So she told me something about the mill, where River Keep meets Avon water. And from there, we went on into the village of Sanford before eventually returning to Straven. The terrain was very muddy in places, rough, rocky, windy, cold. As we walked along the edge of the river. But what was really interesting was that we enjoyed each other's company, providing support and encouraging each other. All through the journey, everyone was friendly. In fact, I was never made to feel like I was a new trekker, because for some of them, they've been doing it for 3-4 years, and perhaps I didn't check that. Maybe I was the only new trekker yesterday. 22 of us. Though it was rough in some places, the friendship and support which were generously given was valuable. We ended the day with a cuppa tea and coffee that was provided to us by Ray. I'm going to draw from this and then looking at the presentation of Vivian to us this morning. I was just a new trekker, but I didn't get to feel that. In fact, at the end of the trekking, when we were having our kappa, they handed over to me the date for the next trekking. They never asked me if it was just a one-off, you know, trekking. They said, have you gotten the date for the next trekking? And I said, I have not gotten it. So they handed it over to me in a very loving, not a fussy way, very loving and kind way. They were very kind. They were very generous. And just before I go on with the sermon, I must say that it's been an eventful year for us. And I will say a very big thank you to all of you for making this an eventful year for my life and the life of the family. Your encouragement, your prayers, your support, they are just uncommon and unimaginable. So our prayers for you is that God will continue to bless you and bless your children's children, wherever they are. And for some days, you know, I've just been, even feel like singing, and I felt like I could come to service today and sing all through. But I'm sure that would be very unusual. And maybe for people at home, they may not quite understand it. While in the Church of Scotland service, people will sing all through. The steadfastness of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The steadfastness of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every evening. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Today, we are continuing our sermon series on the Beatitudes, with a focus on the fifth one: blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We've mentioned that severally, that the Beatitudes hold a very primary place in the teachings of Christian churches throughout the world and over the centuries. The Beatitudes sum up 8 characteristics of those who humbly submit themselves to God. It does not in any way present to us 8 different persons, but it presents to us qualities that should be seen in those who call themselves believers in Christ. We are expected to manifest these qualities: poor in the spirit, meekness, hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who mourn over their sins, the sin of the world, social injustice. When we read that God is merciful, or that he has mercy, it reminds us that God feels our misery just as intensely and even more intensely than we do. He feels our pains. He feels our pulses. He feels our anxiety. The author of the letter to the Hebrews teaches us that the reason why we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find help in time of need is because the occupant of that throne is a merciful high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. He has gone through our pains. He experienced the wickedness of the world, the anxiety, the neglect of friends, backstabbing. He experienced it. And that is why our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to provide us with all the support. Our Lord's mercy is shown in the way he bends down to human misery and shows his compassion for those in need of healing and forgiveness. God's mercy is real, and we are all called to experience it firsthand and not to depend on the experiences of others. We need to experience the mercies of God. We need to open up ourselves to God. Mercy is further revealed for us in our Lord's parable, as was read to us by Sandra. The victim in that story was miserable. He had been beaten, he had been robbed, and left near dead. The priest, And the Levite in the story showed no concern for him because of the legal requirements and ethical requirements that they needed to fulfill in order to do that. I've shared this story a few years ago in Edinburgh. I was walking on Hanover Street, and as I was walking to the bus stop to pick a bus to where I was living then, in Valley Terrace, there was this elderly man who was walking down, and I just saw him, and I realized he was blind, and nobody was there to assist him. And as he was, if you are familiar with that Hanover Street, where Clydesdale Bank was before, as he was walking down, he was going to fall inside a ditch somewhere very deep. And if he had done that day, he would have crashed. People were very busy. They were very busy walking past him. Some people even, that song that said, you can't push your granny off the bus. some people would use their shoulder, and because it was quite a busy place, some people would use their shoulder to touch him a little bit. It felt like he was going to fall. So I just thought, in fact, and I didn't want to think of any of those legal requirements. I kind of ran very fast because the next step was going to be inside that ditch. So I ran up to him and I held him. And I was just like, if I end in prison, even if I'm not understood, at the end of the day, maybe I'll be vindicated. But I thought it was better for me to help that old man out than to see him fall inside that dish. He held my hand and took me to a place, and we sat down, and the rest was a story. The priest saw, and they walked past. But there was a Samaritan who was in a journey, very busy, and today, in this age and time, we are always busy, trying to catch up with appointments, catch up with events. He was on a journey, and I suppose it was a business journey. He came to him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. There was this feeling in the spirit of this Samaritan, and he just felt, look, I'm not going to walk past here. The word most often translated mercy conveys strong feelings of pity, sympathy, compassion, and affection. He just felt, I just have to do something. But mercy does not stop with tender feeling. It doesn't feel like, what a pity. Mercy doesn't stop at that rhetoric or feeling or expression or pity. It asks to relieve the misery. It goes beyond that expression of, poor you. It goes beyond that to do something tangible. In our lost parable, the Samaritan came to the victim and bandaged up his wound, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own donkey and brought him to an inn, maybe a hospital, as it were, in our own time, and took care of him, paid some money, and asked them, please take care of this man, the stranger. The Bible said that some have taken care of strangers without knowing that they've entertained angels. And he said, take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I am going to pay. I'll pay for it. I suppose in many ways, this act really challenges us, challenges me, and challenges all of us. The Samaritan's compassionate feeling led him to a practical demonstration of kindness, concrete action which were intended to relieve the man's misery and distress. When Jesus asked one of the three passerbys, who was the true neighbor to the victim, the lawyer, who knew the law very well, said, the one who showed mercy towards him. So he used that word, mercy, to sum up those feelings of steadfast love, which were followed by helpful acts of kindness. And that is where God is really calling us to. God is extremely merciful with us, and we cannot recount the mercies of God. If it is not for God's mercies, we would have been consumed. Because God's compassion endures forever. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. I'm sure if you sit back and you are sincere, as I know you are, and reflect about your own life journey, you will see that God has been merciful. He has shown you mercy. Things you never deserved. Moments where it appeared as though you were at the dead end of your life. And suddenly hope came. Suddenly help came. Somebody came to hold your hand. Somebody came to hold you and to say, look, you can make it. In many ways, God has provided us with support at different times. God has given us people who offered us their shoulders to lean upon at different times in our lives. God has shown us extravagant mercy, extravagant grace. He has lavished it on us in many ways in our lives. He showed that through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven a debt of sin we could never repay, and we have been blessed with daily mercies we can never number. We can never. God is inviting us to show the same kind of mercy to others. Unconditional love. Unconditional mercy. 2 days from today will be Valentine's Day. Some people say they don't believe in it. Some people say they believe in it. Whether or not we believe, or whether we believe, we are invited to show extravagant grace. Not just to those that will repay us, but to those who may never in their lifetime repay. Because we have received so much grace from God, we have received so much love from God, that we can only but give. And we can never outgive God. Because he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. In our workplaces, there are always opportunities to show mercy. In our families, in our neighborhood, there are opportunities to show mercy. In our schools, as students, there are opportunities to show mercy. Mercy to our teachers, mercy to those who help in our classrooms. There are countless opportunities to show mercy. And God is inviting us to show mercy. To forgive those who have wronged us. To reach out with our arms in acceptance to others, the way we've been accepted in St. John's and the way I was accepted amongst the trekkers yesterday. We should open our arms to welcome others, to welcome people in our fold, to open up our homes, to unfold our wallets. It is then that the beautiful song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, written by John Newton, will take a new meaning for us. Amen.